I have the right to be happy. At the moment, if I'm not happy at the company anymore, for any reason, because I'm bored, so I don't learn anything new. It is nothing challenging. It is not funny. All of this are happening, but I don't get along with the people. I am not happy. Then resign. Resign and find another job. And never go for the money. I never go for the money. In my this first company in Munich, I said, okay, I want to get in at any price, and then we will see. I will prove. And I got a salary raise of 50% in the first year.
Wow.
It works because quality sells. You know, we know from Apple, from Steve Jobs, it is not a question of quality or speed. It is only with quality you get what you mm-hmm. want. This is the only way. So do your work really thoroughly and invest time and enjoy it. Without enjoying it, nothing will happen and you won't be happy. So, and you don't need to reinvent yourself. I have no idea what I will do in 1 year, and I really don't care because I want to have fun.
Hello and welcome to Developer's Journey, the podcast bringing you the making of stories of successful software developers to help you on your upcoming journey. I'm your host, Tim Bourguignon. On this episode, I receive Christina Hiatt. Christina has been working in our industry for 2 decades, always looking for the right way to build reliable, resilient, and expandable software. She self-describes as a coding architect on a yellow brick road journey. I hope you have the reference. Padded with books, people, lucky chances, learnings, aha moments, communities, and of course, a lot of fun. And we've been laughing for the past 20 minutes. So I hope it's going to be the sign of the day. Christina, welcome to Dev Journey.
Hello, team. Hello, everyone. I'm still laughing. Sorry.
Yes. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. But before we come to your story, I want to thank the terrific listeners who support the show every month. You are keeping the Dev Journey lights up. If you would like to join this fine crew and help me spend more time on finding phenomenal guests than editing audio tracks, please go to our website, devjourney.info, and click on the Support Me on Patreon button. Even the smallest contributions are giant steps toward a sustainable Dev Journey journey. Thank you. And now back to today's guest. Christina, as you know, the show exists to help the listeners understand what your story looked like and imagine how to shape their own future. So as is usual on this show, let's go back to your beginnings. Where would you place the start of your dev journey?
This is a hard and easy question at the same moment. The moment it was when I used, I think, PHP to display the time on a website and a locally hosted LAMP website. And I saw that changing, and then I said, well, if I can do this, I can do everything. Because it is a website. It is just, I can send you the URL, and then you can see my time. So instantly, I could share this with everyone on the world. But my mother asked a lot of time, what are you doing exactly? Are you doing the shiny stuff? No, I'm not. Are you doing what? Pictures, images, what are you doing? And I couldn't explain to her, so I said, I do the internet. The stuff you don't see. You click here, this is not what I am doing, but what happens after you click there, this is what I'm doing. Okay, let's stick with the internet. I think this was the moment where I got caught completely. Until now, I never created a desktop form. I sucked at that. I never was able to create anything desktop thing. But the internet is the land of all possibilities, and we know that now.
Mm-hmm. But your journey toward development started before that, but you didn't feel completely hooked until then.
Right? But this was in the second or third week of my training.
Okay.
So before, my whole journey, actually, the first 18 years, it started behind the Iron Curtains in Romania. Mm-hmm. So I had a wonderful childhood, terrible adulthood, because you knew with 18 how you will end. It was this. I thought a lot about what was the worst thing in communism, and the absolute knowledge what you will do. You knew exactly what will be your salary. You will have one or two kids. Maybe after 30 years, you will be able to buy a car. If you are lucky, it would work, that car. And if not, then not. And that's it. This was life. It was pre-planned. The biggest terrible part in communism was that you knew exactly before.
This is unimaginable.
There wasn't any options. There wasn't any options open. And you knew you can visit the three other communist countries every second year if you're lucky. And the other years you make holidays in the mountains. And that's it. So
wow, okay.
It took some time to realize what was the biggest problem or error or pain, and this was it. So mm-hmm. we knew exactly how we will end.
Mm-hmm.
No surprises in life.
Ouch. I don't want to date you, but how old were you roughly when the curtain fell?
18.
18, okay.
So I was on the
right
seat and...
Into adulthood.
Yeah. Oh, I worked for 6 months in a freight factory.
Mm-hmm.
Work meant I got a place and I got a salary, but in communism, nobody was unemployed. This was on the, everybody was employed. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe 500 kilometers away from home or wherever, but you were employed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. I repaired hairdressers and motors, all kind of small motors. So it was, yeah. This is where I learned that my biggest fear in life is to be bored. It was a huge lesson,
mm-hmm.
because it was terrible boring. You were looking at the clock, felt like the whole life, waiting to be 3 o'clock to be able to go home. So it was the lesson of my life. Never be bored. And I think this is why I went to IT too. In my whole life, I was bored 2 days and then I resigned. Because I was watching 2 days YouTube videos and I realized, no, this is not it, and I resigned. Changed job. So,
okay.
I never did the same thing twice. By the way, estimations and story points. So there is no thing like repeating stuff. I never repeated the same. We never repeat.
that's the perfect industry for you. Definitely.
Yeah.
how did you I wanted to say reconvert, but change gears, start learning at 18, say, okay, now I'm going to go into this direction. How did you decide? How did you figure out this was an opportunity?
Yeah, between this part and the other part, I was observed at the University of Mechanical Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a mechanical engineer specialized in trains. I love trains.
Mm-hmm.
Not the upper part, but the back end. Everything what below the axis, trains are just crazy thing. And vehicles. Did you know that in the 70s there was one good attempt to create airborne vehicles on air cushions?
Ah, okay, yeah.
And it worked. It was perfect. This is a very good lesson in IT too. But they never knew how to stop it.
That's a big problem.
Successful operation, the patient died. Because it is not enough to build something or to create something if tomorrow it gets out of control. This is the story of my career.
Uh-huh. I was playing with ChatGPT an hour ago. Let's hope it doesn't go this way. Yeah, when the robots become sentient and we don't know how to stop them, that will be ready to say I told you so.
I think we are. No, I won't, because I stopped telling this. But, but I think we are in the middle of it. I think we let the ghost out of the bottle, and we are not worthy. We are not there yet. We can't. We are not even able to read a book, but we want to use and appreciate and understand these answers. And these answers are mostly very superficial, making the impression that it is correct. Mm-hmm. And Stack Overflow, it's very helpful, but copy-pasting stuff, it's never helpful. Now we have this in a much faster and more elegant manner, and we will... I don't think it will go well, mostly because of the people who are behind it. No names. Okay, one name, Peter Thiel. This is the one scary guy who is scaring me completely.
Yeah.
But we jumped now 20 years.
We have. Let's backtrack then.
So I went to the University of Technical Mechanical Engineering. But I made my first money there with IT. We had BASIC, not Visual Basic, but BASIC with line numbers, where you learn very fast what it means thinking in the future. Do not write your lines without letting gaps between the numbers, because refactoring means you need to add numbers in between. If you didn't thought about the future, you do this once, this error. you need to rewrite everything.
You have to find all your go-tos and change the numbers behind it.
Yeah. Exactly. And this was boring again. So what do? We think ahead and let numbers, five steps or something. And this was BASIC. And I liked it a lot. Oh, my first informatic classes were without computer, because it was in 90, directly after the communists had fallen, and we didn't got the computers they were sponsored. Mm-hmm. We just had paper and a black table. And then we imagined, what the hell is Winchester? I was thinking for weeks, what is a Winchester? Because it was just storytelling. We couldn't imagine, what the hell is this? After 1 month, it came the first computer, and wow, Netscape and DOS, and not Netscape, what was it? Something with N. Norton Commander.
Ooh, okay.
I think Norton. It's before everybody who is listening here. Very early stage, but then you understand what is DOS and how file system is working.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what is a Winchester. I think it was the one before hard drives or something. So something like this. I don't know why the name is Winchester. And we didn't have mouse or something. We didn't have the mouse. It wasn't very visual. It was just list. Mm-hmm. But I was fascinated. And then a colleague of mine, he created a company, and the university was just to have the degree, and had no interest and no idea. And he paid me to make his BASIC projects. Oh. So I earned an Italian swim bath suit. This was the paying. And I had it for 10 years. So it was a very good investment of him and of my... And it was IT. Before even I was dreaming about, I never thought about IT. In Romania, the IT was very high level, and it was very, very hard to get in. So 30 people for the whole country.
Wow. Okay.
And the school level is much, much higher than in Western Europe. Now we are at the same level, but earlier it was really very, very high. What I learned in at school, at 9th or 10th class, had people here in Germany at the university. This was the level of school. So it was really high and almost impossible to get in the IT university, so I didn't even try. But I went to machine engineering, and it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I learned a lot. And this was the second thing what describes me, learning. So a job should not be boring, and I should be able to learn every day something.
Otherwise, which goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And this is IT. you have to learn. One advice is, someone does not want to learn, but to know something and use it for life, don't go to IT.
Nope. Nope, not at all. I remember I took the exam to become to take the German citizenship a few years ago, and the last step of the exam was a face-to-face conversation with another student, and the subject was lifelong learning. And so we had two roles to play. One was supposed to advocate for lifelong learning, and the other one was supposed to be against. And thankfully, we picked the right one, because I have no idea what I could have said about the other one. So I had the lifelong learner, and it was easy. It was just coming out of my heart. But the other guy had some trouble. But yeah, this is the industry for that. This is definitely the industry for that.
Yep.
Okay, so you're a mechanical engineer, you're programming BASIC and having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there?
Worked 1 year as a mechanical engineer. It was the same as before, but with a higher salary. It was just boring. I read the paper the whole day. But I finished two export projects. One was 6 years old and another 8 years old, which wasn't exported. So the project rollout project. I was in project rollout something. And I learned to talk with men who were saying, "Oh, Christina, we knew you since you were a kid." My father was a manager there. And I told them, after I was counting until 10, okay, fine, but have you did your work yesterday, what we discussed? So what the hell? Professionalism or... So, yeah, I'm working in a huge factory, 2,000 people factory. It was boring and it wasn't helpful. And I met, because I was bored, I had a second job with this colleague, with his company, and there I did everything with computer. Everything from Excel, printing, salaries, whatever, anything what one could do with computer, but it still as just self-learning thing. And then I met my husband, and he was living in Germany, and for one reason or another we never thought about staying in Romania. So I left with 27, came here, and then started life again. I only knew about German. I don't know why, but I started learning German because I was born 6 months ago, before I met him. I have no idea why. This is why I told you before, I don't see patterns. I don't understand why I started to learn German and how it came that I met him after a few months. And everything is just happening somehow.
Somehow.
kind of karma, kind of good decisions, but I couldn't know before. So I don't know. And this is the pattern in my life. I decide things, and after that, they happen. And it's just the right timing.
I read a book. I can't find the title right now, but it was basically speaking about luck and putting this in a different perspective, saying that you have to stretch your hand for luck to be reachable. And so basically, a lot of things that we see as potential consequences or potential completely random events are actually us preparing for something and then being able to grasp it. And this is something we couldn't do before. And I've tried to observe the world with this goggles for a while, and it's very true how you start doing something and then suddenly you realize something is happening that couldn't be there before, but it was. It was just not graspable. And it's a bit weird to think about it this way, but...
I do the same. I try to force these things in a pattern in something made on purpose, but I couldn't. I didn't know that I will meet him, so it was just. And I surely didn't know that we get married after 6 months. So he asked me after 3 days and get married after 6 months. And this was 25 years ago.
Wow!
So I couldn't know this, and he surely not, because then he would have avoided for this. meeting. So I don't know why. I am sure I'm really someone who must decide before, because life is really can be beautiful if we take care of it.
Mm.
So, but this thing, learning German, it was just an idea because I was bored and I had a friend who knew German. Well, and we are—he's my husband speaks Romanian too, so we didn't. I didn't need it. It wasn't okay. But there are a lot of things which are happening, and we helped it happening. And I am absolutely agree. Luck is just lying on the seat. We should, or not is lying on the seat, but luck is there. We should really must recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second advice of my life. Not only read everything what you can, learn everything you can, but don't let lucky opportunities, options just lying, because you never know.
Indeed,
I never know what happens.
Okay, so you grasp that chance, move to Germany.
Yeah.
Start your life again. I think that's the word.
Exactly. Used. Everything. I tell him sometimes, if he's annoying me, I had friends, two jobs, a happy life, and then I come to Germany. No language, no money. Someone who puts everything on me, a lot of tasks and responsibility, and the German happy bureaucracy to hire a woman as an engineer. So, yeah, again, it wasn't my choice. They decided that they don't care about my engineering degree. And I didn't care either, because I didn't want it. I wanted something with math.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematics were always, since from the fifth class, I knew I want to do something with math. In my last class at the university, it was the first last exam, I was done in 40 minutes, and I was really angry to my professor because it was so easy. It is the last exam I will have in my life in mathematics, and then it's so easy. It's not.
Did I understand you well? So when you moved to Germany, your degree, your Romanian degree in mechanical engineering, was not recognized.
It was recognized, but nobody hired me.
Oh, okay.
Because
it was from the companies, it was not recognized as
women in technique in Germany, in Deutsche Bahn. So I was really very close to one. I had one interview, and we were eight. I was the only one from with this expertise. The rest was physicians, mathematicians, whatever. After a huge accident after Eschede, where it was the biggest accident in the German railways, I think, history. And they wanted to create a commission to not allow this happen again. Why it happened is another story. It was my first article, but I translated it. It was really terrible. The reason, human reasons. And it were two positions. And they decided not even to invite me to the second interview. So this was for me, this is why I say it wasn't really my decision. It was their decision. And for me, I closed the subject, the topic of, I really didn't want it to do it. I didn't saw myself working in a fabric industry, talking bullshit every day and convincing men that they still need to listen and to work. I am so happy. It was the best decision ever, because all my friends are engineers and I listened to them to going to this meeting and that meeting. No, no. Software engineering is the best thing ever. Me in a factory. No, so it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband said, "Okay, what you should do?" I worked 1 year to get the right to get the training, and after 1 year. Learning the language, 1 year working, some stupid jobs, doesn't matter, because I wanted to have this 1 year, and then training. And then my husband said, anything with computer, you can take anything with computer, it will be a future. And this is how it started. He said, anything with computer. He's a network administrator, or was it? No, it's project management more. So he's on the dark side of computer. I think this is the most boring part, talking about networks and TCP and ISO. No, not ISO. How it's called? The seven levels.
OSI.
Ozzy, not Ego, Ozzy. Yeah, really.
Some people like it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why. I never understood why, but I got that school. Again, I was very disappointed because I finished the test in time. And okay, and now? And then I found out it is not expected that you finish the test. Why? Why do you give me a test if you're not expected I finish it? What the hell? So, but it was fine. And I learned a lot. And this was, again, I could have not learned. Half of the class were... everybody was from different professions, and half of them were from Germany, from careers, or people learning a new job, nurses, and so on. And the other half was from foreigners like me with the degree. So it was a very diverse, very mixed thing. Wow. And I think only three out of 24 remained in the IT. The rest, I don't think so. Because this was in 2000 to 2003. Mm-hmm. And when we finished in 2003, it was the biggest unemployment season ever. So when I started, it was enough to know where is the button of how to turn on a computer. And when I finished, I was unemployed for 2 years.
Wow.
So... then I did projects for my husband. He was in Lotus Notes. Lotus Notes, please don't rant. It is one of the biggest inventions ever. Until today, the most secure software architecture. It's unbeatable. You can program it in three languages, inbuilt. You can do with what you want. Or people not knowing it can rant, but this is not the problem with the software. It is the problem with how we learn to use things. So I love it. And I did a training in that 6 months. And then my husband has some project at work. He was at Siemens for micro exchanges, something like this. So in the company, you have something to sell or to give a gift and or exchange market. I think it was exchange market. And it was done with Lotus Notes with about 30 lines of code. And then they had to turn off Lotus Notes. And then I sit down, I rebuilt it in PHP in a month because I was bored. Million lines of code. So this is why I say Lotus Notes is a genius thing. A lot of lines of code just to create a drop down and a kind of conversational view. Learned a lot of JavaScript and PHP and difference between website rendering. There wasn't such thing like server rendering, and it was everything but server rendering. So very funny. But that's all this sitting at home. I even tried to start my own to be self-employed and created kind of newsletter for doctors and people around who had small companies but had no idea from computers to create websites. And this was 10 years before 1&1 started the same job. We have now Shopify and all these. Not like this, but I was too early. I had one contract. So it was okay.
Okay. So when did you decide, or did you apply during that time?
Every day or the day. But again, luck versus, I'm not sure if this is luck. But I didn't have the German citizenship, just but the Romanian one. And after 3 years, I was really desperate. I didn't know what to do. And I said, okay, I go back to the university. I don't know what to do. And then I had the right to apply for the German citizenship. I changed it. I got the citizenship and I put it on my CV. And 1 week later, I had a job.
Oh, no.
it is not provable that it has something to do with it, but until now nobody could convince me that it hasn't.
Yeah, you saw it in my reaction that the link was obvious, but damn, okay.
I don't know, because I was twice at an interview in this company, and the first time I was almost hired, and then they hired another guy, and then we lived in Switzerland for 6 months because my husband got a consultant job there. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. best time of my life. I thanked them for 6 years that they didn't hire me, because it was, every day was holiday. It was really extraordinary. Going swimming, trying to understand the Swiss people, doing really nothing important. It was wonderful. 6 months of holiday. And if they would have hired me, I did never had this 6 months of my life. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and I saw I changed my citizenship. And then I saw they had the same job proposition. And I was so angry, I just said, hey, we talked last year, I don't send you any papers anymore. Do you still have interest? And then I was hired 1 week later. And I needed 2 days to find out who was the guy who they hired me instead of me. And another week to tell my CTO, okay, you see what he is doing, and you see now what I am doing, and now think about it, you hired him. The guy was playing World of Warcraft at work.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I don't even need to tell you anything anymore, because you get your price. So you paid the price. You could have hired me 1 year ago. They were really very nice people. And I learned very much at that company in Munich. It was a company in Munich. So I could not say they were, it wasn't anything racistical or something. It was just, I don't know why. I don't know what has changed. There's one line saying German citizenship. Hmm. No idea.
Let's hope it wasn't the reason. And
I don't care. Else. Like I said, yeah. They paid the price because they had this guy for 1 year. And after that, they had me for 6 years. I was 6 years there. And we created great stuff. We started with Alice Blake Classic. and then this was the company where the first time I heard about a community. And this CTO, which we understood each other very, very well. And we worked the whole time together and created a blog, went to these communities, and I never stopped since then. This was another significant fork. Went to the first open space of my life, and since then I still never go to conferences, if I'm speaking at conference, but not as a listener. Mm-hmm. I go to Kandinsky is the only German conference where you can have a discussion. It is not a frontal men with very nicely dressed and frontally talking to you or to someone. It is a conversation. Mm-hmm. It is an exchange. It is a real community feeling. And this is what I got from open spaces. And everyone who is listening, if you heard about open space, just go. Mm-hmm. The best place.
Open space being the conference format where the program is not predefined by the committee or by the organizers, but people come and define what they want to talk about together. And so
it's an really unconference.
Exactly, an unconference. That's a format.
So the conference is happening on the floor. You are bound to nothing. It mm-hmm. is really, someone gives you the gift of place and time, and then you do the best out of it. You can, of course, do nothing, and then you wasted your time, but you can learn everything. Mm-hmm. I learned there, we went with this company, we were four or five developers, and we went to this first open space, and learned in 2 days ASP.NET, including how to test. And I write already some paper and went back, and we created a new portal in ASP.NET by getting the book back and getting these notes, and every day a chapter. And after 6 months, we had a portal for job applications built in ASP.NET and learned all this in an open space, sitting in a room. And the guy, one of my first significant persons beside the CTO, was this guy called Albert. He's the .NET user group. He was the .NET user group owner in Cologne. And so he was to explain this all this to us. And we called the room the Albert Hall. We were sitting there twice, 8 hours, and we learned ASP.NET in this open space.
So this is it fantastic.
And I took the paper, my notes, 6 months later. Oh, what he said something about this testing, how it is called, and how everything. I learned everything there.
This is so great.
Was also where someone said, mentioned the word DDD and Eric Evans. This was 2007, and the book came out 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, this guy is Stefan Rieser. He's one of the clean code, formerly known clean code community in Germany. And he's one of Cologne too, and I never knew that I will move to Cologne. So these both guys are from Cologne, and I'm living now in Cologne. Since then, we didn't met. And I told him, you mentioned this book. And you said, oh, hopefully everybody reads this book. And he said he never mentioned this. And I read this book, and since then I am hooked in domain-driven design, and I don't understand how to build code differently. And he said he can't remember. So yet another random thing which changed my life. This DDD book is actually, now it's my life completely.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly of my company, because they have to.
you mentioned, reading your bio at the beginning, that you were a coding architect. Would you mind expanding a little bit on that? What do you mean by this just a juxtaposition of the two words?
In all these years, let's put it differently. At the beginning, on my bio, what you read on my blog, it said, I want to understand how to write the code. After 2 years, I understood, okay, what is syntax, how it works, how to write software, but how the hell keep it working? So, and just yesterday I realized this is actually what architecture is, thinking in time, thinking about the future, having this dimension of time and change, rate of change. This was the definition of Gregor Hoppe, thinking in rate of change. And this is, it came directly after I understood, or I realized, okay, you have different languages, but they are just the same. You learn the syntax, you have different types like functional or object-oriented, but then the rest is the same. The syntax is different, the concepts are always the same. So you got that, you can write code. But this code, it's getting broken. Even if you don't touch it, it is the only thing I know in life which is getting broken without touching it. Because all the world around, our systems are changing all the time. And the last 10 years are changing extremely fast. And don't say ChatGPT now, because this won't help. It will change even faster.
Mm-hmm.
So it will, or our code will get broken even faster because everything around changes. Now we got, earlier we needed to pay for infrastructure. We had constraints because it was expensive. Now it is so cheap that we don't get enough to scale stuff. We need to scale. We open the door, we need to scale stuff because people can reach us. So, and all these are architectural topics I learned yesterday. I was always like this. I always wanted to know, okay, how to make it sustainable, and let's build something, but it should work forever. And the perfect code is not what it works today. It was what it works. It can't be broken by people because they are writing, they are changing it, or get a spaghetti code. So mm-hmm. the perfect code for me is not a function. It is something which does not get muddy, mm-hmm. which is terrible hard to do.
Indeed.
And so I never wanted to not code. I love coding. But at the same time, these topics, these problems must be solved. And this is, for me, a coding architect, someone who is really in software, in developing software, but also had the head of an architect. Mm-hmm. The responsibility or the ownership, or recognize at least that there is such a thing like architecture, and think about this.
Okay. How do you avoid being pushed toward non-coding architecture then?
I can't, because this is what I am now since 7 months.
Ouch.
Yeah, exactly. Ouch. It is really... last September, or in summer, I took the decision to go either... I couldn't... No, it is... again, this is the end of the story. The beginning of the story is very long, and I think... We're almost at the end. So, but after 6 years Munich, 6 years Munich, then we moved to Cologne, 9 years e-commerce. I love that company. I learned and changed everything what I could, and learned and changed. Short story long, I left after 9 years, and since then I'm looking for my home ship. And after 6 months in an insurance company,
startup, right,
it worked perfectly. It was great. I learned a lot. But the 6 months ended with these 2 days of looking at YouTube videos and designing. And then another software house. And then the last time, another startup in Berlin, I decided I can't stay in this German industry anymore, because it is either too young. Usually 3 or 4 guys founding a company, but never worked before anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then it is a huge clash if the mindset and the culture is not the right one. It's a huge clash between I am owning this company, but I have no idea and no experience, and I would like to tell you how to do this, but you don't listen. So last year, for some reason or another, this was the first time that I proposed a talk to DDD Europe. No, actually, it's not true. The reason was I wanted to meet all my friends who part of them I never met because of Corona, and part of them I met 2 or 3 years ago, and I wanted to meet them, and I didn't want to bargain for the money, and I could not afford DDD Europe because mm-hmm. who can? So I proposed a workshop. And for the biggest surprise of my life, it was accepted. And I went there. And during this time, I got contacted by Payfit, a French company. And I had so much fun during the interviews that I said yes. But the position is a staff architect. I never knew what a staff architect is. I still don't know, because I do my way to work. But I don't get to code. So at the first couple of weeks, I even deleted some code, and I created some tests, and I made my opinion about TypeScript and classes. Oh no, I confirmed my opinion about TypeScript and classes. We should never did this, add classes to TypeScript, because it's Node.js. It is not an object, not a class thing. Okay, but he did. Well, someone did. Someone do. But I don't get to code. So I'm trying to getting back. Trying to find my way back to coding. It will probably will in ending in some code reviewing and then getting coding. But at the moment, I am riding this elevator. Not the one from Gregor Hoppe up and down, but the one from. Galaxies, how it is called, the book? Hitchhiker Guides to the Galaxy. That one. This elevator, I have this elevator in my mind since days, because it's going in all directions.
Okay.
And with all speed. and you never know where it ends. So, and at some point, I will get to, like, to coding. I just need to not forget too much until then. So.
Then knocking on wood for you for that.
And I don't know who wants to work with me, because now I'm through this elevator thing. They just know me like, oh, she's coming and she's speaking about DDD and so on. And but doesn't matter. Like my last company, I was the only developer, so I know exactly what full stack developer means.
So. Just for reference, the book you're mentioning, the from Gregor Hopper, is the elevator architecture.
Yeah.
And basically describing the architect as a person riding in every level of the company, being able to talk the lingua of the CEO and metaphorically go down to the basement and talk to the same level as the people being there, and stop at every level of the building, and being able to talk and be understood there. And so that's the crux of the architecture, being everywhere at the same time. And you're describing a different dimension, going up and down, but left and right as well. And
this is a company of 1,000 people. My last company, we were 12.
That's a different dimension.
Everything is different. The time is flowing differently. Everything is different. And I'm someone who's, I want to discuss something, want to get an agreement, have gotten action items, and then doing it. Try to do this in a 1,000 people company.
Yeah, it's a different beast. It's a different beast. Christina, it's fantastic. I have the feeling we're just scratching the surface, and we could dwell on architecture for a while, but this is on Timebox. I have an advice to ask you still. You've done quite a few times this rethinking yourself, starting new and starting. What is the thing that you would advise somebody who is facing that kind of problematic, saying, hey, I have to reinvent myself?
Actually, I had one law. I started calling it a law. I have the right to be happy. At the moment, if I'm not happy at the company anymore, for any reason, because I'm bored, so I don't learn anything new. It is nothing challenging. It is not funny. All of this are happening, but I don't get along with the people. I am not happy. Then resign and find another job, and never go for the money. I never go for the money. In this first company in Munich, I said, okay, I want to get in at any price, and then we will see. I will prove. And I got a salary raise of 50% in the first year.
Wow.
It works, because quality sells. You know, we know from Apple, from Steve Jobs, it is not a question of quality or speed. It is only with quality you get what you mm-hmm. want. This is the only way. So do your work really thoroughly and invest time and enjoy it. Without enjoying it, nothing will happen and you won't be happy. So, and you don't need to reinvent yourself. I have no idea what I will do in 1 year, and I really don't care, because I want to have fun.
I love this philosophy. Thank you so much. You have the right to be happy. Never go for the money, and look for happiness, and that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. The rest will come.
Fantastic. Where would be the best place to continue this discussion with you?
On Mastodon. I can thank a lot to Twitter. One of the biggest boosts of my life, meeting persons like GB and discussing how to buy sour cream in Romania. Real life twittering from a shop. Christina, how it is called in Romania, this thing? And then which alley should I go? Real story. It was Twitter. But I left Twitter in December. I still have an account, but I don't use it. So Mastodon is the same. Yellow brick at Mastodon Social or something. Mm-hmm. You find the addresses on my blog. And because of losing Twitter, sometimes I communicate on LinkedIn, but not really. And the rest, virtual DDD, anytime. We had the last open space 1 week ago. We do now open spaces, and we have some sessions. So, DDD Europe this year again. And I hope at Lynn Scotland Lean Agile Scotland, if they accept me. I hope they are listening and they accept me, because this is my goal for this year to get there.
Then let's hope they're listening. Christina, I'll add all the links to the show notes. Thank you so much for opening this this door onto your life. And it's been really insightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this has been another episode of Developer's Journey. And we'll see each other next week. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I hope you have enjoyed this week's episode. If you like the show, please share, rate, and review. It helps more listeners discover those stories. You can find the links to all the platforms the show appears on our website, devjourney.info/subscribe. Creating the show every week takes a lot of time, energy, and of course money. Would you please help me continue bringing out those inspiring stories every week by pledging a small monthly donation? You'll find our Patreon link at devjourney.info/donate. And finally, don't hesitate to reach out and tell me how this week's story is shaping your future. You can find me on Twitter. I am at Timothep, T-I-M-O-T-H-E-P, or per email, info@devjourney.info. Talk to you soon.